Glory to God. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, everyone. I'm happy to see Judith here at this time. What happened today? Okay. And Arthur also. Okay. Yeah. All of you, you're welcome. And yes, we thank God for Teddy, the ministry of Teddy. Okay. Some time ago, I promised that we shall always end earlier so that we can redo the prayer and worship at the end. But it looks like I forgot. I remembered, I think, last week. I was like, you know? So, yeah, Joan, remind me, okay? Yes, when you see me jazzing too much and you feel what I'm saying is not of the spirit, you tell me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes, we are continuing with the Bible study as we use our book, Financial Prosperity, Breaking the Back of Poverty. Amen? Yes, previously we defined what prosperity is. We define prosperity, true financial prosperity, as a condition when God, with or without money, provides for all your immediate needs, and you're content and grateful with that. All right? Then we also reminded ourselves how to avoid shipwreck. Okay? Three things that we said we can do so that our lives are not destroyed by money. Okay, number one, we should always be content with what we have, even as we expect more, okay, because God is a God of increase. Number two, we should always look out to be a blessing to other people. And number three, we should always remember that money is the least thing. It is not the most important thing in life. And that's what Jesus said. Then we also had a Bible study where we reminded ourselves that love is a foundation. So we should do all we can to pursue love. Okay? And the last time we were here, we studied about giving. And we learned that giving brings not only material blessings, but also the priceless. All right? Blessings which are priceless. Blessings which are way better than money. Glory be to God. Now today, we're going to talk about tithing. Okay? None of you got saved last week. So what we're going to say, okay, most probably we have heard it all, okay? But the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Robert Ladon used to say that faith doesn't come by having heard, all right? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by having heard. All right? That time when you heard, faith came. Okay? Now you need to hear again. Glory be to God. And it's good, like Peter used to say in the Bible, in his epistles, he said that it is good to remind you of these things. Glory be to God. So today we are going to talk about tithing. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, number one, what is a tithe and what is tithing? All right? We all know that a tithe is basically 10% of one's income, 10% of one's increase. All right? And tithing means giving that 10%, okay, that tenth part of what you have received, giving it back to God who gave it to you, okay? Giving it back to him as an offering, all right? It is that what? It is that simple. Hallelujah. All right? It is that simple, but it is not actually what? Simple. For some people, it is not simple sometimes. Okay? For some people, it is always not simple. Okay? And for some people, it is impossible. Glory be to God. But hopefully, people who listen to this, and as they read the Bible, it will become easy for them to do the right thing, to give back a tenth of their increase, a tenth of what God gives them, to give it back to Him as an offering of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Okay? Number two, should Christians tithe as they did in the Old Testament? All right? Now, years ago, when I got saved in 1998, all right, and I believed that Christians are supposed to tithe, all right, until I think it was 2007 or 2008. That is like 7 years. Okay, 7 years of believing in what? Tithing. No, yeah, 7 years of believing in tithing. Okay. Then I think I did like a year. Okay, when I was a very serious anti-tithing preacher. Glory be to God. Okay? Very serious. Okay? I think this is like 2007, 2008. Okay, that time I was working at Medical Research Council in Entebbe. And all the Balokora there, man, they knew me. Some girls even decided, used to avoid me. Okay? I sent them books to read, those online books, to read. Okay? And I remember a certain girl told me, no, for me, I can't even open that, And I was so persuaded, all right? Then I think after a year, it was less than a year, I came back to what? My senses, okay? And then I began to really feel sorry for the people I misled in that 1 year, all right? I think what got me messed up was because around that time, I was at the peak of my grace, grace thing, okay? And I love to give, okay? I love to give, all right? And then I was at the peak of, grace, we need to do is to give. You don't have to be limited by 10%, okay? New Testament say give. You can give 50%, you can, Okay? And I used to say that, guys think I don't give, okay? For you, just give 10%. For me, actually, I give more than that, all right? So I got messed up there, and I landed on some book on the net, man. Hey, that book was very much. Hey, I even can't tell you the things which were in that book because they might mess you up. Hallelujah. Okay, and it's like even people who are not for tithing, I haven't heard them say those things. So when I hear them say their things, I just see shallow anti-tithing, people. They are shallow in their false doctrine. Okay? For me, I was deep in my thing. So when I hear their arguments, and I'm like, now, if they were really deep in their thing, they would also say this and this and then. Glory be to God. Okay, I can actually tutor them, add things to their thing. Okay, and that's how messed up what I'd become for like a year or less than a year. All right? Yeah, but the second question here is, should Christians tithe as the saints did in the Old Testament? The answer is yes. Okay, the answer is yes. It is in the Bible, And in 2013, I had a dream, which again, validated or, shed more light on that truth, upon that truth. Glory be to God. Amen. Dreams are good. Supernatural experiences, dreams, visions, if they are of God, they are good because they shed light on Scripture. Hallelujah. There's some guy I know right now who he's in the process. I don't know whether it's a phase as people grow up in the Lord. But maybe it's not a phase. Maybe it is just those things or what? There's that wisdom key. Never change your theology to accommodate a tragedy. All right? So this guy, he's in the season of like back, like it seems like he's even like the attitude that you sense is what is kind of like dreams, and most probably it's because of several disappointments, So now his thing is what? The word. Just the word. You know, And sometimes you go so on such guys because usually it's a wound, And if you whatever them, you hurt them further. So I guess you just let them go through the word. But what I was saying is these experiences are good, They shed light on Scripture, and now you can be firm in what you believe. All right? So right now, no one can talk me out of what? Tithing. I had a personal revelation. That one dream, like a simple dream. All right? So that document, man, that thing was thick. It was over 200 pages. Okay? Right now, it cannot. I had a personal revelation. All right. Yeah. So yes, tithing is a New Testament practice. All right. Genesis chapter 14. We're going to read the first time we see someone with tithing, and that is Abraham, the father of all believers, the father of all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, and as you all know, this was before the law was given to Moses, all right? So primarily, when we talk about Christians tithing, don't argue your case using so much of the law, Primarily, of course, the law now, when you go in their Numbers and Deuteronomy, it just shows you some of the benefits, But you can't, and then there's some things actually which, in my opinion, they even don't apply. Some things about tithing, the practice of it, which Moses wrote down in the law, which don't apply to us. So not everything in there, because there are scriptures which say, for example, that are 3 times a year. The scripture you say you should appear and then you eat your tithes. So guys, as you say, if you guys say we should tithe, but the Bible says we should come and we eat our what? Tithes. Do you understand? So there are those things which don't apply, any of those details, So that's why we have to have to base our arguments or understanding primarily on Abraham, who was before the law. All right. Anyway, Genesis chapter 14, Genesis 14, verse 18. Abraham has just come back from a battle. He has won, all right, and he has spoils from the battle. Then it says in verse 18, that then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he, Melchizedek, blessed him, Abraham, and said, "Blessed be Abraham, Abram." By that time, his name hadn't changed to Abraham, okay? So Melchizedek said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." And he, Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, a tithe of all. Glory be to God. Okay? That is the first time we see someone giving a tithe. Abraham, our father, gave a tithe to Melchizedek, the king, the priest of God Most High. All right? Now, Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We are going to read from verse 1 to verse 8. Paul, according to Kenneth Hagin, Paul is the one who wrote Hebrews. Eh? Okay? One time when Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, he asked him, "But by the way, who wrote it? Who wrote this book?" And Jesus said, "It's Paul." All right? So, yeah. So Paul wrote and said that for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. All right? Melchizedek, okay? No beginning, no end of days. Okay? He's like the Son of God, Jesus. Okay? And because he has no beginning and no end, okay, he remains a priest continually. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was. All right? These things are, are wonderful. Okay? Just imagine, God, talking about you, Sam, to some guys, and say, "Consider how great Sam is." But this CV, consider. Can you imagine it being written about you or being said about you, how great you are? Not by human beings who really don't know the truth, but by God. So then he says, "Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them," the Levites, "received tithes from Abraham and blessed him," Abraham, "who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better." KJV says greater. The lesser is blessed by the greater. Verse 8. "Here mortal men receive tithes, but he receives them." Okay, now let's talk about this verse. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Okay? So Who are the motto men in this scripture? Levites, the priests, okay? Then he says, but there he receives them. Where is there? Where is there? Okay. Rachel, where is there? Okay. Now, I used to think that, because this is one of the scriptures we use, or people use to show that Christians are supposed to tithe, because they say here on earth, okay, mortal men, the Levites, you know, the Jews, okay, receive tithes, but there, okay, in heaven, he, Jesus, okay, receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Okay? That is a, but, and that could be right. However, when I look at it closely, okay, and in the context of the verses preceding and following, okay, verse 8, all right, it seems to me when you say that here, mortal men receive tithes, okay, yes, it is talking about the priests receiving tithes, okay, then he says, but there, okay, he. Actually, the words receives them, they are in italics, meaning that they are not supposed to be there, okay, but which is not a big deal. Okay, so, but he says that, but there, he, all right, in my opinion, it looks like this he is Melchizedek, okay, not the Lord, okay, all right, when you read it in context, all right, so, but there, okay, Melchizedek receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. You remember it has been witnessed in the preceding verses, okay? He has no beginning, no end of days, all right? So he says that here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Glory be to God. Now, let's jump back to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Okay? Paul says that so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. But it was he, God, who said to him, okay, Jesus, you are my son. Today, I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, okay, you, talking about who Jesus, my son, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Glory be to God. Okay, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Melchizedek who forever lives. Alright? And Jesus, even here, it has been said of him that you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Okay? The Melchizedek who receives tithes. Okay? Meaning that all those in that order, okay, in that priesthood order, whatever you call it, okay? That priesthood receives tithes, okay? And it received tithes from Abraham before the law came, before the law was given to Moses, okay, at Mount Sinai, okay? This was over 400 years before, all right? Melchizedek, our father, gave a tenth of the spoils to Abraham, rather to Melchizedek, and now as the children of Abraham, okay, we have a high priest order that is of Melchizedek. Therefore, okay, we're supposed to do what our father Abraham did, okay, and give our tithes, okay, to our high priest Jesus, who is of the order of Melchizedek, to whom Abraham tithed. Glory be to God. Amen. Without complicating things, it is that simple. Glory be to God. All right? It is that what? Simple. All right? It is that simple. Okay? I read a certain word of the week, Rick Joyner's, I think it was 2004, and he says how one day, he asked the Lord whether tithing was still applicable under the new covenant, okay? And the Lord answered him and asked, what priesthood are you a part of? Okay? Just that, what priesthood are you a part of? Then the Lord led him to Hebrews 7, where it talks about the Melchizedek priesthood, okay, under which the Lord, falls. Okay? And the Lord left him at that. Glory be to God. Amen? Teddy, I don't know if these things are good news. I mean, you get your little money or your a lot of money. Okay, and 10%. 10% is not a small thing when you think about it. Okay, it's not what? It's not little money, man. Glory be to God. Actually, it is little when you have little money. Can you imagine someone gives you 5K? 10%, 500. That's easy. Okay? But someone gives you one ma, then 100,000. You know, eh? And that 100,000 can do miracles. Eh? Okay? 500 can't do nothing. So you can, In fact, if a border guy, wants 5,000, okay? If you have removed, a 500, you can tell him, nina mkumi nya bitano, zizu. And he goes, bitano, kawa. Okay? But if you're buying something at one man, then you tell the guy, 900K. He said, what? 100,000 less? No. You understand? It's major. It's huge. Glory be to God. Okay? Yeah, but God expects us to do what? To give a tithe of our income. Hallelujah. Okay? Yes. Amen? Yeah. Now, usually when I'm teaching or I'm writing, I use scriptures. Then in case I have a supernatural experience, okay, which illuminated that part, I share it also. Yeah? Okay? Yeah. That's why in this book, I wrote about that dream I had in 2013. Eh? Okay? 2013. Tithing. Before we get to the real dream that talks about the tithing, let's start with another dream on page 70. Page 70. From that, the topic, tithing is difficult for my children. So, in the year 2013, I was tired of having little money to give towards kingdom work and to bless people. So one day, I told God, if there's anything that is disqualifying me from receiving a lot of money so I can be generous, please reveal it to me. Okay? I was very serious. Okay? There are some things which God is not going to respond to if you're not serious. If you don't really show that you want the answer and for a serious reason. Okay? I remember this time very vividly. I was very serious. Because, like you all know, prior to that, you know, God had told me, I think it was 1999 or 98, that audible voice, okay? If you joyfully obey the laws of giving and receiving, you never see financial depression in your life, all right? So I'd done that, though, like I've told you, there was a kayae when what? I wasn't tithing, I was even preaching, anti-tithing, but I was still giving, and more than 10%, okay? But then anyway, I was like, now God, why I've given, you know, all, you know? I was like, now, why aren't you giving me a lot of money? Okay, why no increase? No, like, significant increase. Of course, there used to be those increases, a salary increment, you know? Like, you know those things, Like, when I went to school, I got back and I was earning more than what I was earning before I left. Those things, okay? And by 2013, it was now like 4 years after that, you know? So anyway, I was like, God, you know? It's real dimes, you know? Not increments of 100,000, 100, 1 million, you know? All right? So, I had a dream during one of those days, and this dream was on 10th July 2013. Okay? In the dream, the position of governor, Bank of Uganda, had fallen vacant. Sam, is it vacant or vacant? In Budo, vacant. Vacant. Now, for me, I worked with Americans, okay? And they used to say vacant. So should we go with Budo or with Americans from California? Okay? I'll go with the Americans, vacant. Okay? So I was among those who were interviewed to be considered for that job. The interviews were taking place in a car that was parked somewhere. As those who were going to be interviewed walked towards the car, the interviewers would critically observe how they were walking, how they walked. Okay? Imagine some guy is seated here, and as you come, he looks at you, how you're walking. It can be quite a little bit uncomfortable. All right? Yes. Unfortunately, the dream ended, okay, without me knowing whether I had gotten the job or not. Can you imagine such dreams? You had, you know, either those dreams were. You're like, now, what's the purpose? Okay? However, I understood, though, that this dream was God's way of telling me, I am considering you for big time monies. Okay? Now, this is 2013. Now, it's 5 years later. Things of God. Okay? Okay, so he said, I am considering you for big-time monies so you can be my steward, okay, over great wealth. In the same way, a governor of any central bank is tasked with managing the financial resources of his or her country. I am watching your giving work. Okay, that's why, remember, they are seated in the car, while, you know, watching, man. You remember, the Bible says our lives are bare. They are naked before him to whom we must give account. All right? All right? Jesus looked, he was looking in the bus offertory to see how guys were giving, man. Okay? How much they were giving. If he did it then, he's still doing it now. Glory be to God. He's still what? You know, sometimes we know that, but when someone tells it to you, like, you know, then you start to say, man, since I have begun now, you know, then you remember how you apologize to God. Yeah, you know, man, God, things are tight, so this tithe this month, you also know, Okay, so anyway, yes, he was saying, I'm what? Watching your giving work. If I find you faithful, you'll be counted worthy to be entrusted with much riches. Okay? Later, that same year, a few months after that, it could have been 1 or 2 months later, okay, I had another dream. I and other students had sat for a mathematics examination. Before results were officially released, a rumor started circulating in the school that I, Moses, had emerged the best and had got the right the answer to a very hard question whose answer was 10. Okay? I remember this thing in school. You remember in school? There used to be that week of, you know, no classes, no nothing. Okay? You can wake up at 10. All right? Then I remember all level. Okay? Wake up at 10. Then you go for porridge or what? Then you go for soccer, man. Okay? But you'd break off like on Friday. So I remember Wednesday and Thursday, like in Smack, it was, man, they used to call it slashing, you know. Okay? You know Smack Road? All of you have seen Smack Road. When you're going to the airport, there's that road where there's that nice, you know, has got Smack Road. Okay, so, man, before you go home, you have to leave Smack Road, you know what? And the Smack Road, then you scrub the dormitories. Okay? Now, during that time, that car week, exam sheets start to come. Okay? Maybe the English teachers finish to mark. Then, shoo, they send them. They just call the prefect. What? Man. Then just know, man, you guys say, papers. And now the class prefect would know what everyone got. Glory be to God. So you would only lie other people what you got. But the class prefect would know. All right? Anyway, so that was the time when there would even be what? Rumors. That man, so and so man was the best in Kemwa. You see, God used a familiar experience. All right? Glory be to God. And so, when I woke up from this dream, the Spirit of the Lord revealed to me the interpretation. Okay? This dream, he said, was a continuation of the previous one about the vacancy for the position of Governor, Bank of Uganda. Okay? The Spirit said, you passed the interview. You remember, then ended, you know. You are now, God, why did you show me such a thing? Okay, but God's like, you know, we shall talk more another day. Okay, so he said, you have what? Passed the interview, you got the governor job. Glory be to God. In 2013. All right? You even did well in the area of tithing, something that is extremely difficult for my children. Glory be to God. Remember that question? The answer was 10. Okay? So you even did well in that. Something that is so difficult for my children. Okay? You got it and you got the governor, Bank of Uganda. Alright? That job. 2013. Okay? I had a job. Glory be to God. Okay? All these things of FPO, they were. Do you remember when Samuel, the prophet, he went to where was it? Bethlehem? David's, Jesse's house. Jesse, the father of David, He anointed this young boy as what? As king. The next time we see the guy, the anointed king, is back with sheep. Okay? Back with sheep. It didn't make headlines. Maybe in their whatever neighbors. Didn't. Okay. Then we see. There were issues. Okay. And later, he's in the army. All right. And then later, Saul realizes that, hey, this guy, he's dead there. Okay, then he began to persecute him. Okay, to cut the long story short, Saul dies in battle, and David is made king. Okay, now this is after many years. Okay, he's being made king of something for which he was anointed in the spirit long time ago. Okay, so to God, it's not news. It's not news. All right? And now, even when he became king, okay, he first started with only two tribes. You remember? Two. But God hadn't anointed him for two. He had anointed him for the entire Israel. Okay? All right? You see, and all those times I think he would be anointed. Isn't it? I don't remember. All right? But he was already anointed. Now, anointed for what? Glory be to God. Okay, so anyway, these things, that's how they still happen to this day. Glory be to God. God anoints you for something. He's like, I've anointed you for that. All right? Then, 3 years or so later, a dream or a depot. Anointing you for that. You know what I mean? This governor thing is exactly what the overseer thing is. It is the same thing. Different terminologies, different words. Okay? All right? A week later, I dream president's what? Usut, presidential mantle, head of this thing in the country. All right? Again, just a different word, president, which is the same thing as overseer, which is the same thing as governor, over that aspect of the kingdom, in the nation. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So anyway, this is 2013. Okay, 2016 came, or a deputy now. It's more than 2 years, And God is like, as in, you be easy. Okay. Now, as we sat here, as we worshipped, I felt the Lord telling me something, which could be the most important thing that you should get out of this place. I quickly included it in the notes, and it is, in a sense, a prophecy, a prophecy for you, concerning tithing, your tithing that you have done. All right? At the appropriate time, I will get to it. All right? Because again, he was speaking to me also. You understand? 2013. Okay? 2013. A dream comes, you have gotten that what? Job. Governor. Okay? Over finance, 2016. FPO, president over this what? Yeah. And then there are guys who knew what the guys were in LAT. Okay. But then you could also see the man, they are just being dishonest. That's an FPO, but then they are, glory be. Anyway, I used to tell some guys that whatever you say, I have it. All right. Yes. Hallelujah. All right? Yeah. So, yes. That dream, okay? You can see now, that dream to me, it really showed me that actually this tithing thing God expects it from Christians. New covenant. Okay? So am I not win an argument? What and a guy? What You argue? What The grace of God because the law. And those arguments sometimes never end. All right? You give a guy a dream, you say, you know, there's a friend of mine even who decided to use Latin. Usola was scripture, eh? Tell me that, eh? As in scripture alone. You know, you leave the other thing, the scripture alone. Eh? Usola scripture. And that's what? Latin phrase, eh? All right? And so, those things, but anyway, I go to really see that what? Actually, God expects it of us. Okay? But sadly, he also says that it is difficult, eh? For my children. Glory be to God. Okay? I pray for anyone who will ever be part of LHA, eh? It will become an easy thing, eh? Okay? Giving to God, okay, back, eh? Giving him back a tenth, eh? Okay? Of their income, you know, as thanksgiving, eh? Okay, for what he has done. Glory be to God. Now, question three. What are tithes for? All right? What are tithes for? Many years ago, I was watching Lighthouse television. All right? Martinson, do you know Lighthouse Television? Some people, yeah, just kids. Eh? Yeah? But they don't respect us. Eh? So anyway, there was this guy from Mombasa, a preacher called Pastor Lai. Some guy, Pastor Lai. Lai. You know? So the guy, he had a large congregation and a tent. So he asked, you know, what do we use tithes for? Eh? Then the guy told all thousands, told them, we eat it. And it's not like he was joking. He was telling guys, we eat it. All right? And I agree with him. According to the scriptures, the primary function, the primary work, eh? What tithes are primarily supposed to be used for, okay? They're supposed to be eaten, eh? Okay, by ministers of what? Of the gospel. Okay? All right? When Abraham gave Melchizedek the tithes, what do you think of Melchizedek? Use them for? Do you think he used them to build, you know, to buy land, you know, in whatever? Judith, tithes are not supposed to be used for paying rent. In the Bible, it's so clear they were for eating. Glory be to God. Okay. That should encourage some of you to become pastors. I'm joking. Thought, man. Teddy, your tithes are primarily supposed to be eaten, okay, by ministers of the gospel. That is the primary thing. Now, if they are too much and other things have to be done, eh, they can now pay rent, they can pay instruments, sound, you know, eh? Okay, but according to the Bible, you leave these things of what? Whatever, the poor people, eh? How can you eat poor people's money? You know, eh? The poor woman had 1,000 shillings and she tithed 100. Now you're there just eating that 100 shillings of what? Now, what do they want it to be used for? 100 shillings. What can 100 shillings do? I mean, just go and buy what? Pepsi, if you have a cord, you know. What are those sweets called? Sweet Pepsi, 100 shillings. 100 shillings can't buy land in Nigeria. You know, some of these things are ridiculous, you know, when you think about them. All right. Glory be to God. So, primarily, okay, tithes are for the welfare, eh, of ministers of the gospel, so that they can do God's work. Okay? Other things tithes can be used for are secondary. Glory be to God. Numbers chapter 18, verse 21. This is God speaking. Numbers 18, 21. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. All right? So you can see the tithes are what? In return for the work which they perform. So how can work, how can tithes, which are supposed to be, okay, given to someone in return for what they have done, be at it for building? You know, do you understand, Alan? Okay, it is that simple, by the way. It is simple. Okay? So tithes are supposed to be for eating. For eating, okay? If Joan is a pastor, tithes are supposed to be for her to eat with Manzi, her son Manzi, to give to what? Her boyfriend Sam, you know, Glory be to God, her husband. Okay, so, remember, we tithe, you know, according to the Melchizedek priesthood, okay? But now, they didn't tell us what Melchizedek used the tithes for. So some of those things now you get them from the law of Moses. Okay? All right? And that's where now we can now see what Melchizedek used the tithes for. He ate them. All right? So God says, Numbers 18:21, behold, I've given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return, okay, for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Glory be to God. Okay, now in the New Testament, Paul, you know, says it concerning New Testament preachers. He says essentially the same thing. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 13 and 14. Verse 13. Okay? Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? He said, do you not know that? Okay? That those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar. Man eateth where he what? Where he worketh. It is that simple. Glory be to God. All right? Okay? When I unleash an eye, eye what? What are those eyes? What is the latest eye. Don't what? Don't ask where I work. Where? Okay. Verse 14. Even so, okay, so verse 13 is Old Testament, temple worship. Then verse 14, Paul says, even so, the Lord Jesus has commanded that those who preach the gospel or the new covenant, should live from the gospel. Glory be to God. Okay? In fact, Paul uses the word commanded. Okay? The Lord didn't suggest. Okay? The Lord wasn't seeking anyone's opinion. Okay? The word there is commanded. That those who preach the gospel should live, okay, or the gospel, okay? Many years ago, Rick Joyner, you know, because he had a business and it was doing well, so, and he was also in the what? Ministry. Okay, so he was like, you know, God, you know, I have the other thing, it's doing well. Okay, I'm not going there. All the offertory what will be for what? The ministry, church work, you know. I don't need to what? Touch it. Okay, I want, you know, they let it do what? Your work. Apparently, the Lord was displeased with that. Rejoin. Okay? For him now saying that what? He's not going to eat, you know, from the what? Church dimes. Okay? Because, you know, their staff is doing well, so, it's not sent to them, come back. Sizukwatako. Rick Jonas said, the Lord was not pleased. And I think he said what? The Lord was angry at that. Because Rick Jonas was implying, okay, that the Lord can't take care of him. Okay? Okay? From what the service is offering. Okay? The ministry, the gospel. He's implying that God can't what? Take care of him. They know the business will take care of him. And the Lord wasn't amused. And Rick Jr. had to adjust very quickly that mindset. Okay? Because you see, he was going against what scripture. You understand? I called into the ministry, okay, and I'm ready, willing to take care of you, okay, using the ministry. So now you can't now start your own things. No, he's not saying that business is not of me. He's like, yeah, you have it, let it bring you dimes, but, you know, even the ministry, you won't, you know, the ministry primarily will take care of you. So you can't say you're serving me and I'm not taking care of you. It is the other business. You understand? Have you read that story somewhere? The Lord was angry at Rick Joyner for that. Okay? Hallelujah. So now we see in the Old Testament, tithes were for eating. It hasn't changed in the new covenant. You've seen it, All right? So that means, anyway, it is that. Glory be to God. Okay? So, yeah. In fact, preachers should work expecting tithes. They should, you know, just like Flora, you go to work and you expect a salary. All right? So even God is like, even preachers, okay, for their work, they should work expecting Martinson's what? Tithe. All right? And not to accumulate it so that it can what? Buy land to build a church. When that time comes, there will be another what fund for what? Building project. Glory be. Okay, tithes are not supposed to be for building. Are you listening to me? Neither are they supposed to be for what? For giving to orphans. What orphans? No, God says they are for what? Okay, orphans, yes. God loves them, okay, and he wants people to give to them. Okay, but their portion is not tithes. They are not priests. They are not ministers of the gospel. Orphans are not what? Orphans are orphans, preachers. Some are they? So why should they eat from the tithe? Glory be to God. These are thoughts that are just coming now. I didn't plan them. I'm just now being scripturally logical. All right? Now, if the priest, okay, the minister, the preacher, the pastor, wants to give orphans from his tithe, the salary, he can. But it's not mandated that the tithe goes to the orphan. Are you listening to me? All right. Orphans. All right? So anyway, preachers, we should expect that. Glory be to God. Okay? And it say, by the way, it says it that they should expect it. Do you know that? Okay, let's continue reading. First Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 3. That time we read our verse 13 and 14. Now let's start from verse 3. Paul saying that my defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife? As do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas, Peter. Okay? These guys had babes. They had what? Wives. And Paul was like, I mean, even us, we can. I mean, the hot chicks in the church, they love the Lord. They dream more than us. Okay? It's right for us, you know, to get one. You know? And so he says, or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Glory be to God. So this means that ideally, you know, a pastor, you know, a gospel minister, ideally, okay, they should refrain from working. There should come that time where the ministry can take care of them completely. This thing of, can't you do both? Can't you, because you're an engineer. Now you're going to leave your engineering, just be a pastor. Can't you do both? Why did God give you those brains? Why did God make you do engineering and you graduated and you got a first class? Can't you do both? Those stupid questions. Okay? At a certain point, yes, you can do both. But there comes a time when you really don't have to do both. You can refrain from working and the ministry takes care of you completely. You know, 100%. Okay? So, He said, is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Then he asked them, whoever goes to war at his own expense. When soldiers go to war, the government foots the bill. Taxes. Okay? And in a sense, it's implying that even gospel preachers, okay, whoever is sending them should foot the bill. Okay? Then he says, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Okay? Years ago, there's someone who told me that he had Apostle Serada preaching. Okay? I was so blind, you know. He told them that what? Since you are sheep, you are a flock, okay? I am giving you grass, I'm giving you grass you're eating. Then he told them, but one day time is going to come when I'm going to start milking you. After I've given you grass, you know, say, ngenda kubakama, you know, Glory be to God. And the guy was right, this is what it says, okay? Paul say, who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock. All right? Then he says, do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Okay? As the ox is eating, don't shut up its mouth. Let it work as it is chewing. From this, you know, Glory be to God. Or does it say altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows, okay, this is a preacher, he who plows should plow in hope. Hope. Hope of what? Of the milk, of the, the produce of the flock. You hope, Glory be to God. You hope. You just don't hope for the anointing only. God says, they plow in hope. And he who threshes in hope. should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? All right? So anyway, I just wanted what? To show you that if your pastor pretends that he's not expecting, he's just he's lying, or he's just a fool. In fact, that guy shouldn't be your pastor because he doesn't know the scriptures. The scriptures tell him to hope. Glory be to God. All right? It's that simple. Now, number four. What are the benefits of tithing? Okay? Number one. Okay? The first benefit is the gospel is preached. Because the preachers are provided for. Okay? We have just read that. Okay? Preachers are provided for. Therefore, the gospel is what? It's preached. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. Paul writes and says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" Okay? So for the gospel to be preached, okay, that people may hear, okay? Remember, faith comes by hearing. Actually, it is in this verse, I think verse 17, it is in this passage. Okay? So, faith to come, the word has to be preached, okay? And the word has to be preached by preachers. Now, how are the preachers going to go or going to come to preach, okay, if they haven't been sent? How are they sent? They are sent by, they have to have transport, okay? While on the plane, they have to drink water. While on the plane or on a boda-boda, you understand, Okay, so anyway, when tithers have that what? First benefit, the gospel gets what? Preached. All right? If you are a Christian and you love God, that is good news, Hallelujah. Okay? That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, Paul asks, whoever goes to war at his own expense. Soldiers have to be sent. All right? All right? Now, this is an opportunity to read a certain vision, which is in one of the booklets or something like that, which we used for Bible study on prosperity. Okay, by some guys, some apostle in Asia. Okay? In that booklet, when we, about concerning prosperity, he narrated a vision some guy had many years ago. Okay? Some guy called A.W. Rasmussen. All right? So, this guy had a vision. Okay? He says, "I was standing before a great unnamed cathedral." Okay? A great cathedral. "And I thought of the vast amount of money which must have been necessary to build such a building." Okay? It was a masterpiece. Okay? He says, what a masterpiece of workmanship it was. "But as I gazed at this great cathedral, a voice spoke. 'My son,' the voice began, 'people say, what a beautiful church. But I say unto you, this is not my charge. I jumped ahead of him and thought I knew what he was going to say next. But the vision changed. Okay? The vision changed. Then he says that I saw myself standing on a street in a great city overseas. The streets were of cobblestone. The streets were in a very bad condition. Many of the stones were out of place, others almost totally covered with mud. In some places, there were great mud holes. As I walked along the street, noticing these miserable cobblestones, I was amazed to hear voices speaking out of those stones. Come, oh come, they cried. Come and build us into the temple of the Lord. They called pitifully as though in great distress. Okay? Stones are calling. Eh? Then my vision was drawn to a far horizon. There in the distance, I saw men of God coming to answer the cry of those poor stones. Many of them were coming intent on plucking these old stones out of the mire and building them into God's temple. They were running with all their might to answer the call of the stones. But then I saw that something was hindering them. There seemed to be an invisible wall, and they would come just so far and no farther. They tried and tried to get past that wall. They pushed against it. They tried to knock it over. They tried to climb over it, but none succeeded. How strange, I thought. They want to come, but they can't. I wonder what is hindering them. Then the Lord began to speak to me distinctly and clearly. I will explain the last part of the vision to you first, he said. The cobblestones represent the millions who have not yet heard the word of salvation. Year after year, they live in their sins with none to help them. If someone would only take the message of salvation to them, they would become living stones. You remember 1 Peter 2:5, eh? Where it says that we are living stones, eh? Being built up into a spiritual house, eh? For the Lord. Say, yeah, so he's saying, yeah. Then he says that I am now pouring out of my spirit upon many of my servants. The church is being clothed with gifts and power and shall be restored to beauty and glory. But even though many are anointed with power and many are hearing the call of the stones, yet they are hindered from answering the call. Before my church can be restored to her full glory, she must learn the mystery of the invisible wall. This is still in the vision, all right? The invisible wall, eh, that is preventing the preachers from going to get those stones and build them into what? The house of the Lord. Okay? He says, here is understanding, Jesus said. My anointed servants are hindered by lack of funds. In a vision. Okay? The tithe belongs to them. I have appointed it to them for their use. But my people, okay, the building project committee headed by Sam, okay, but my people have used the tithes for building great temples and cathedrals and paying architects. This man used to do architecture work. You're the one who did Imperial Royale, eh? If I remember right, eh? Okay? Okay? But my people have used the tithes for building great temples and cathedrals and paying architects. They say, what beautiful churches we have built for God. They rob my anointed servants of the tithes and use them instead to pay off mortgages and interest. And my church goes unbuilt for lack of funds. Glory be to God. This is what I'm telling you. The Bible is so clear. Tithes are for eating. They're not for building. They're not even for buying machines. They're not for giving to orphans. That sounds mean, eh? But orphans are not gospel preachers. Orphans are not Levites. The tithe is for preachers. Glory be to God. According to scriptures. Alright? They are not supposed to be used to buy land wherever. To build God's church. That should be another what? Another offertory bag. Glory be to God. Alright? Supposed to be for eating. Okay? If the pastor is what? Is a female. Okay? She's supposed to eat that money with her husband. Okay? And take kids out to what? To Java, to wherever. The chef. All right? Yeah, so now this vision, by the way, it is so touching. How you know get a serious cathedral, okay? And they were impressed. Christians were impressed with what they had built for the Lord. And I guess we are competing. The biggest cathedral, the most beautiful cathedral is in France. Meanwhile, the French preachers, man, are hungry. Maybe even the church went and got a loan from the bank. That all the tithes are come, which are come, they go out to pay the loan. Preachers are hungry. Souls are going to hell because the preachers cannot what? Okay? Even these ones in what? Who are in the church, in the cathedral, the souls which are already saved, they're also not being fed well, spiritually, because the preacher is thinking about how to make ends meet. You understand? Instead of praying, the guy is there, what? He has become a broker land. Part-time, he's taking guys to see which land is on sale so that he can get something. Why? Because Baga is saying Tekati, Basasula bankers, interest. So now, how do you expect a preacher like that to come and give you a substance on Wednesday, Bible study? Do you understand? That's why God is saying that's wrong. In fact, he's saying that is not my church, that is not my cathedral. That's how sad it is. Alright? This is why actually in Malachi, this is why God said concerning guys who are not tithing. That's why he said, you have robbed me. There's no food in my house. Okay? And apparently when you read that in conjunction with either Haggai or something like that, okay, you really see that because guys were not bringing tithes, the Levites had walked away, man. They were no longer at the temple. So sacrifices were not being offered. Guys had walked away, man. Alright? And remember, these are the sacrifices which were supposed to cover their sins. Okay? Now they are not being offered anymore. So the nation is in trouble. Because now no more slaughtering cows, the blood, to cover their sins. Okay? Atonement. You know, guys, there's no food in the temple. So guys have gone, So no more covering of sins. What that means, the curse, is going to, trouble is coming. Because now you're going, the repercussions for your sins they're not being covered by the blood. And that's why God was like, you guys, you've robbed me. It wasn't a simple issue that it's just that there's no food in the temple. Okay? It was very serious because it was going to mess them up.
No more slaughtering animals. You know, the blood. Okay? So guys, we are going to get in trouble, man. Glory be to God. Amen? So, anyway, let's end by... the first benefit of tithing is what? The gospel gets preached because the preachers are taken care of. Okay? The second benefit is now for the person who gives, who tithes. Okay? And we all know that scripture, Malachi chapter 3, from verse 10. I won't read for you verse 8 and verse 9. Okay? I'll only read verse 10 to 12. Okay? It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Now these are the benefits. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. All right? Okay? You remember we read that Udream, okay? The governor, BYU Dream, the tithing Udream, where God was like, I'm going to give you a lot of what? Money. Which sounds like, open the windows of heaven. Okay? But, like we said, now it's 5 years. 5 years. And in the dream he said, okay, that you've done so well at this thing that is difficult for my children. Tithing. Okay? That means I should partake of this what? The promise, a blessing so large, and there's no room enough to contain it. Now 5 years. I can't say in the last 5 years I saw something like that. Okay? But yet God says that what? That is what I want to do with people who tithe. Okay? All right? And then he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Glory be to God. Now we go back to verse 10. Okay? A blessing, okay? So large that there's no room enough to contain it. All right? Like that thing of governor where God gives you a lot of money, where you're the top, of this game in the country. You have so much money to be a blessing. All right? Now, that comes to what? What, as we sang here, when God was, reminding me of all these dreams which we are going to read and we have read, this kind of thing, 5 years, there is no evidence, there is no natural, okay? One of the things he told me here, and he told me to tell you, which could be the most important thing that you should get from this Bible study, okay? Number one was that thing of what? David, okay? Remember, he was anointed king, a kid, and thereafter, he's back in the ship. But he had been anointed. All right? But many years later, okay, there was the manifestation, okay, of what he had been anointed, okay, in the spirit. There was a physical manifestation. It didn't take 1 day, 1 month, 1 year, okay, but it eventually came. It eventually manifested. Glory be to God. Okay? And the Lord, as we sat here, he led me to what? He reminded me of Abraham. Okay? Abraham, okay? Okay, this is now what you'd call the prophecy. For you have been tithing, okay? And you haven't seen these blessings. Okay, so much enough to what? To receive them. Yet the scriptures say it is supposed to happen. And it's not like you've just tithe twice a month, rather twice in a year. You've been consistent. Okay? Even if you haven't been consistent, but you've tried. Okay? There should be something. And God is saying, there is something for you. All right? And he told me, tell them, okay, Hebrews chapter 6. God is faithful, all right? He's not a liar, all right? Okay? You know this scripture? Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, I guess it is, will be fulfilled in your life, all right? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. It says that, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Hope. Full assurance of hope. You hope, okay, and you're assured, okay, until the end, okay. Verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Okay? For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I'll bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Doesn't that sound like Malachi 3:10, where it says, I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. All right? This is what exactly it sounds like, you know? Blessing and multiplying. I'll multiply you. Okay? A promise to Abraham. Just like a promise to the tithers. Okay? Now, verse 15 says, and so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Glory be to God. Okay? So God is saying that you will obtain that promise of a blessing so large that you have no room enough to contain it. Okay? He was faithful to Abraham. Okay? And he's going to be faithful to you. Okay? As far as tithing, okay, and Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 is concerned. Okay, that's what he told me as we worshipped. Okay, and he told me to tell that to you. Glory be to God. And in my opinion, I think this Bible study was basically God just what? Setting us up to tell us that. Glory be to God. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And in the name of Jesus, your children have received your word. Your children have received the word that builds faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. And in the name of Jesus, none shall be discouraged, none shall faint, but they will imitate the saints who through faith and patience inherited the promises. In Jesus' name, amen.